Oh, you made it. You're finally here. Welcome to Half Cocked Tales, a place where we have a great time celebrating science, the social contract, and just plain old congeniality. Dare I say, a place where we seek a path to peace, prosperity, and exploration amongst the stars. What I'm talking about is an all-inclusive society, meaning if you're not on board with the understanding that we all agree to share rules, norms, and respect, we're not obligated to even consider your opinion, because the social contract is that important to a civil society. I am your friend and host, Dan the Worshipin' Dionysus Man, sipping on science today. I'd like to welcome any new listeners joining us. We're here having a good time. We hope you do too. Stay tuned until the end of the show. We're going to be talking about a new 4th of July tradition that will leave you flabbergasted. As always, I am joined by some fine and fascinating guests in the lounge today. Amber, my sister who loves the woo-woo and thinks she's always right too. How did your week go this week, Amber?
Went rather well.
Glad to hear that.
Got a new car. So, you know, helping that economy along.
If you're not spending, you're a bad person. That's just America.
Well, hey, then I am the best person ever.
I'm such a good citizen. We're also joined today by the wondrous, lovely, inimitable Jamie Lynn, a druidess who's just so damn good at this. How are you doing today, Jamie Lynn?
Wow, inimitable. I am inimitable.
That's right.
I can't even say it twice.
Yeah. Inimitable.
Inimitable.
That's the one. I am doing fantastic. Looking at going back to work tomorrow. So, you know, trying not to think about it.
Ooh, yeah, you could be doing better, right?
Yeah, let's not think about it. That's why I'm here, to not think about it.
Enjoy those last few hours.
Fortunately, we have got a really fun and informative show for everyone today, brought to us by Chef Girl RD, pasta products without the penis.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of penis in my pasta.
Nobody is.
I just couldn't get behind that.
Today, we're going to be taking a quick look back at the Roswell incident of July 8th, 1947. Very famous incident.
I've been to Roswell.
Right? Hey, we've been to Area 51, and they are linked. Indeed. We'll get to that later when we hit the time machine. We got some hot science news. NASA is paying SpaceX to destroy the International Space Station. We'll talk about that later.
Of course they are.
And some new trilobite fossils they're calling Pompeii fossils. We're going to talk about those later, too. We've got some bullshit and snake oil involving chicken soup for the soul. Everybody's favorite books. We're going to play a rousing rendition of Fact Checking Time involving elephants, cicadas, and China.
Whoa.
And, of course, we're going to wrap things up with a feel-good story about the Pacific bluefin tuna. We encourage everyone to reach out to us at either halfcocktails@gmail.com, or maybe you want to send us a text message or a voice message, 443-499-8253. You can even just go drop a comment over on TikTok and Facebook or Instagram, any of the social medias that you use that we're probably on. And but for now, everybody ready to start this shindig and head over to the time machine?
Let's jump in.
Let's go.
All right, let's do it.
Nothing would be better than a look at days of yester in our time machine.
All right. Welcome to the time machine, where we don't just talk about history. We relive it, trying to learn lessons from the past to apply to the here and now, because history doesn't always repeat, but it usually rhymes. Now buckle up, set your dials as we journey through the ages, exploring the stories, people, and events that shaped our world, from ancient civilizations to modern milestones. Get ready for a ride through time like no other. I'm your host, Dan the Worshipin' Dionysus Man, sipping on science today, joined by my sister, Amber, who loves the woo-woo and thinks she's always right, too. Amber, are you ready to talk about Roswell today?
Let's do it. I am fantastic. Good for some aliens.
We also, with us today is Jamie Lynn, the druidess, who's just so damn good at this. Jamie Lynn, love of my life, how are you doing?
love of my life. Also, I am looking forward to it. You know, I love me some good alien talk, though I tend to be a skeptic.
That's right. That's right. We're talking today about the Roswell incident. July 8th, 1947. The Roswell Army Airfield issued a press release stating that they had recovered a flying disc.
Whoa.
This flying disc was recovered on W.W. Mac Brazel's property near Roswell, New Mexico. The debris included metallic sticks, foil-like material, and other unidentifiable components. He reported, Brazel reported his findings to local authorities, which led to the military involvement. Now, their initial announcement was, we found a flying disc. Okay. So, of course, the media got very excited.
The next day,
the military said, what we meant was we found debris from a weather balloon, not a flying disc.
Yeah. Oh, wait, never mind. We jumped the gun a little. We can't tell you about this yet.
I would like to take a moment to stop right here and have a short little discussion about how do they release that first? Like, how does this happen? Let's assume for a second there's no flying disc. Let's assume for a second it's a weather balloon. How do we go from we found debris of a weather balloon to, hey, this is the military chain of command, so people don't often go completely against what they're told. Sergeant Henderson, can you go call that reporter, let him know we found this flying disc? Oh, isn't it a weather balloon debris? No. Say flying disc. It's cooler. How does this happen unless there's a flying disc? People at home and listening, the caveat here is Dan very much wants to believe. I'm a natural skeptic.
He does.
At heart. I really am a skeptic at heart. But with these kinds of things, I want to believe. So that skepticism just falls away. I don't know where it goes. It just shuts off.
I think we all want to believe.
That we all have to fight against.
We all want to believe.
I do.
Yeah.
And okay, I think to answer your question, how do we go from, I think we found a downed weather balloon to flying disc and military stepping in? It's because military was covering up.
They're the one who put out the initial press release.
Which part of the military and who? Because there's a lot of... I mean, we've all watched X-Files.
The Roswell Army Airfield.
They were not privy to the whole escapade.
They're the ones that got sent out.
Sure they did.
But here's what I think. I think it was some, like, underling who put it out there, and then his supervisor was like, dipshit, we can't say that.
Whoa.
Like, you're going to start something. And so then they had to, like, dial it back.
Major Jesse Marcel was an intelligence officer at the Roswell Army Airfield. The RAAF, he was one of the first military personnel to examine the debris. In interviews years later, he openly stated, hey, by the way, I handled material not from a weather balloon. It was unlike anything I'd seen before. He says, thin foil-like material that could not be dented or burned. It was highly resilient. His son also claimed his father showed him some of the debris when he was a kid.
Hey, see, and I'm more likely to believe that.
No, I don't think he was part of the original experiment that the military was conducting. He was just not on the inside loop. So, of course, it seemed odd to him.
We will get to the later explanation once it was declassified. Once some things were declassified, we had a much better explanation. But so this all happened in the late 40s, and it wasn't part of the national culture until the late 70s. That's when things really picked up with Roswell incident and UFO researchers, aliens. And
might I suggest Betty and Barney Hill? That's where it really started coming to fruition.
So who are Betty and Barney Hill?
They were one of the first, I believe they might have been the first alien abductees that reported it. And that's from... Okay. 1961, they were abducted, according to their accounts, and that started the whole UFO abduction thing. So it really put Roswell and everything front and center after they claimed that.
Well, I imagine there was some council meeting up there, be like, the aliens are like, dude, you would think crashing a ship would be enough, but it's not. So we're going to have to go to stage two. Get us an abduction.
They were from New Hampshire, I believe.
Yes.
In 1961. I mean, they claimed they were driving back from their house to their house from vacation house. In Canada. And they encountered a strange flying object. I think the wife said she saw it with binoculars. Like, she looked through her binoculars and saw the aliens through, like, windows in the craft. Which,
oh, wow.
Which is kind of funny to me to think, like, the aliens have the spacecraft. Like, they can travel faster than light, presumably. And let's just use cameras and screens. Nah, put a window in there.
Put a window in it.
Well,
hey, guys. Hi.
It could be that it looked like a window, and that's just the only words she had to describe it.
Well, no, she said that she saw the aliens inside it.
Well, yeah. I mean, it could just be their little bumper stickers that they put on the outside.
Hey, okay, now that actually, I like that, because an alien bumper sticker might have, like, moving things, like a wizard picture in Harry Potter.
Right?
Right. It's a bumper sticker, but, like, moves and waves at you.
That would be so cool.
It's the alien equivalent of like, flipping off the other aliens behind him, like, eat my dust, turd breath.
Wow.
So, and apparently, with Barney and Betty Hill, Barney was skeptical.
He was.
Of what his wife was talking about, until he saw it, and then he was like, oh, I gotta drive the hell away from this.
Wow. Yeah.
And then they claimed it blocked, it lowered and blocked their path, and they had to stop. Mm-hmm. And then they took, mm-hmm. they kidnapped and abducted the Hills, and mm-hmm. Took them on board the craft, and then the Hills can't remember what happened. They're just missing all this time.
Missing time.
And then Betty started dreaming about it, and heard the abduction, and she started a journal, an abduction journal. You know, really credible stuff. I woke up and I wrote down my dream, so it must be true.
Therefore, hey, it's true.
Sometimes they are.
So I think they went through hypnosis too.
They did. They went through hypnosis, which mm-hmm. is, you know, hypnosis also memories, very credible. Scientific. They are not, by the way. Hypnosis memories are not scientifically credible.
Yeah, no. Hypnotized, recovered memories, definitely not.
Totally suggestive. The
surest form of evidence.
Yeah, as much as I love that X-Files episode where Mulder fights for the hypnosis memories being true,
it's not suggested.
It's suggested by the person doing the hypnosis. Anyway, so they did The Hills, and of course, I think they wrote a book about it.
They did.
There was a 1975 TV movie, The UFO Incident, about their experience. And that was the big shift of everybody paying attention. And mm-hmm. their attention went to this Roswell incident, because mm-hmm. the press release happened.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There are a couple other people made later in life additions to this. There was a Lieutenant Colonel Philip J. Corso. He was a retired U.S. Army officer. He claimed in 1997 that he was involved in distributing alien technology that was recovered from the Roswell crash.
Interesting.
Hmm.
So he said it was his job to coordinate with various defense contractors to reverse engineer different components or materials. He alleged modern advancements like fiber optics, integrated circuits, and semiconductors all were developed from this crash. And the Army didn't want any one company getting all the glory and money. So they were, like, spreading it out.
Oh, but the government did get all the credit?
They didn't want the credit.
Uh-huh.
Another guy named Walter Hout, he was public information officer at the Roswell Army Airfield in 1947. Cool. He was the guy responsible for issuing that initial press release. He's the one who said flying disc. And in a 2002 affidavit, he said he not only saw the debris, but also an alien body. He claimed there was actually a second site where a larger, more intact craft and alien bodies were found. His affidavit, which he authorized to be released only after his death, straight up calls out a deliberate cover-up by the military.
Hmm.
Well, I would believe that they deliberately covered it up. And that's why it's believable to me that there was an actual craft, because the idea of our government covering something up is extremely plausible.
We know they do that. Tuskegee Airmen. We know they we know what they do, right? It's been done many times. So we're right to be skeptical. Okay, let's examine Walter Hout for a second. If he's lying in 2002 in this affidavit released after his death, Let's assume he's lying and it was a weather balloon, or as we'll find out later, maybe a secret government program. Why?
Right.
What's his motivation here?
Right.
I understand questioning the motivations of, like, say, Lieutenant Colonel Corso, who wrote a book, right? Mm-hmm. He wrote and published a book, and I don't know if he got super rich off of it. He probably made some money on the book. Right. I get how somebody could say, okay, no, they made that up for the book and the interviews, right, the magazine articles, the attention.
Mm. Absolutely.
But why would this guy be like, okay, don't release this until after I die? And and they open it and they're like, oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who wrote the press release is like, this is, yeah, no, it happened. It happened. It was even bigger than you think it was.
Right.
I saw it. I am an eyewitness.
Okay. What's his credentials? Wait, I have some questions.
Okay. Public information officer at Roswell Army Airfield.
Public information. Okay. So we're talking military here. They don't disclose things. And sure, this guy saw something. I don't doubt that for a hot minute. But the government is always up to something nefarious. Always. And they are not about ready to divulge any of that. And then he could have lost his job had he divulged it earlier. Any of that information could have been his death warrant. So, of course, he's not going to release it until after his death.
But to me, that just gives even more credibility to his story.
But it doesn't mean it's alien.
Okay. Are you saying it's like the right hand doesn't know what the left is doing?
That's my feeling on it, is that the government was up to all sorts of things. They're not going to tell these little guys what's going on. They're just the, what'd you call him? The public affairs guy?
Public information officer.
Yeah, but
they're not going to tell him.
Public information officer, is he going to have access to information other than what he's given? Like, they're still going to control what gets out there by controlling what the public access officer, whatever his title is, receipts to share.
And he's saying he saw it himself. So we'd have to assume he's got access to the base that they took it all to, that Roswell Army Airfield, before it went to Area 51.
That does change it a little bit if he says that he saw it himself with his own eyes.
That was what was in the affidavit after he died.
I'm credulous, because the government's always doing things. They're always in a race against Russia, against China, against somebody to get things.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to tell everybody what they're up to.
Absolutely. And if they're doing some sort of shady test on some animals, can you honestly tell me that if you saw some sort of ape or monkey that had been completely shaved and hooked up to like monitoring equipment, and it was there, its corpse was there on the ground, can you tell me you'd be like, oh, well, that's a shaved monkey? Or would you think, what kind of weird alien is that?
That's exactly my point. Yes. Because if they were up to something nefarious, then that you are going to put, because at that time we had crazy sci-fi movies that worked on lines, and I don't even know how to explain it, but it just seems to me that we were young. We didn't know what we were talking about. There's a bunch of people that don't know what they're looking at. And the government is like, well, we got to get ahead of Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put some shaved monkeys in an aircraft.
let's keep in mind that the Soviet Union actually sent a dog into space in 1957.
He might have been
so
shaved,
like,
too.
Using animals to stand in for us is a known thing governments were doing in the space program. Okay.
And so, familiar with that.
So my question is, how many people were there with the Roswell incident that individually said that they saw it? Like, what's our total here? Because you can fool a couple of people.
There are 5 people who have publicly come out about this. I've got 2 more to mention.
Are they linked with each other, those 5?
The first was an intelligence officer at Roswell Army Airfield, Major Jesse Marcel. Okay. The second was a retired U.S. Army officer, Lieutenant Colonel Corso. The third was public information officer at the Roswell Army Airfield. The fifth, as I'm about to tell you, Glenn Dennis, a mortician in Roswell, who at the time of the incident, he said he got inquiries from the airfield about small, hermetically sealed caskets and requests for information on how to preserve bodies exposed to the elements. He also claimed to have spoken with a nurse who told him about an autopsy of alien bodies. However, the nurse's identity was never verified, and Dennis's claims have always been met with skepticism. But he was a mortician in Roswell.
There's enough people, both in the military and out of the military, that are claiming to have seen these things.
And there's one more.
There's more. Wait.
But wait, there's more. Yeah.
But wait, there's more.
General Arthur Exon, high-ranking Air Force officer, who was not directly involved with Roswell, but he later did talk about it, saying that the material recovered at Roswell was highly unusual and that there was a cover-up. He implied that debris was related to the advanced technology, and he didn't explicitly say it, but because he didn't know where it was from, but he said it was potentially extraterrestrial. But he said he knew the material was real. So he wasn't saying, I know it's aliens, but he was saying, no, these things exist. I don't know where they came from, but they do exist, and that there was a cover-up that he was aware of. General in the Air Force. Okay, so that's the case for it, which I've been trying to also explain, like, well, maybe it's not true. Because like I said, I got to be a skeptic, but I want to believe. I truly think.
Can I ask one more question?
Yeah, go ahead.
So World War II, when did the bombs drop?
1945.
45. And Roswell happened
2 years
in,
earlier.
Roswell happened in 47. Okay. So I'm just saying there's a Cold War mentality starting at that point. We were very afraid. We had a lot of scientists that were doing things that we were, Oppenheimer went through how much hell to prove that he wasn't working for Russia and others. I'm just saying that's really close. 45, 47, government was gearing up for more shit and protecting their secrets. Like, that's super, stupid, super close. And the military was freaking afraid that their secrets were going to get out. They were trying to protect it. So of course they're going to put out falsehoods and change things up. And we had scientists working, and of course we'd be doing projects. Nobody would have recognized Oppenheimer's work at that point, before we dropped bombs. No one knew what that was about.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, let me see if I understand, because I don't know if I've heard anybody make this point before, including you within our private conversations.
Sorry.
Are you suggesting that the government's first response to cover up what they were really doing was, let's just tell people it was aliens?
Yeah, diversion.
I think that came in of itself.
It was diversion tactics all the time.
They would have diverted. Who, and I don't have it up immediately, who said flying saucer? Because I think it was extrapolated. I don't think the military put that out first.
No, they said flying disc.
I could be wrong. And then everyone just went batshit with that, and then they wrote on it. Because they couldn't let their secrets out.
Right.
Russia would find out.
Wow. Okay, now that we're talking about it, I did just look it up. Flying saucer was popularized by Kenneth Arnold, an American aviator and businessman, following his sighting of 9 UFOs on June 24th, 1947, 1 month before Roswell.
Okay, so here again is another thing. Carl Sagan talked about this a lot. He said, it's not a big deal until someone starts talking about it. And Dan and I were talking about this. You own a green Kia. Guess what? Now you see green Kias everywhere.
Yeah, you see them everywhere.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Same thing with flying saucers and discs. They mention it, and now everyone's seeing it. Now we're all diverted. Military had it golden. Now I'm not talking about military secrets. I'm talking about flying discs. Public's eyes off of what we're doing secretly.
I actually really like the misdirect of, like, this guy thought it was really funny of, how do we explain this? Oh, tell him it was aliens. Tell him he found aliens. They'll believe it.
Yeah.
And we did.
That guy, one month ago, the guy was talking about the UFOs. I was reading all about it. Unidentified flying objects.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He said flying saucers. We'll say flying discs. It'll be the same. People think they're related. I kind of like that explanation. Because it goes with what we do know, the actual documents that have been declassified, in the 1990s. It's called Project Mogul.
Mm-hmm. Mogul?
And it, Mogul, M-O-G-U-L. It okay. was a secret military project in the 40s involving high-altitude balloons. They were built to detect Soviet nuclear tests.
Mm,
they were built
there you
to
go.
Spy on the Soviets and what the Soviets were doing with nuclear power and bombs.
Yeah, we were terrified.
Me. The balloons were made of polyethylene, which I'm sure in the 40s would have seemed very futuristic. You know, shiny yeah. metal. It can be transparent or milky opaque, or opaque, but it is reflective. Okay, so they had these polyethylene balloons that could get as high as 50,000 feet. Various instruments, microphones, something called a radio sonde to measure atmospheric stuff. They had radar reflectors to track the positions because, you know, you didn't have GPS back then. So they had to come up with a way.
To, true.
If the Soviets, if they're getting data from the balloon that the Soviets are launching a missile, how do they know where the balloon is?
Mm-hmm.
They actually had to have something. So they actually put radar reflectors and would track the balloons that way. So you had the metallic foil, you had rubber, you had all sorts of components put together on these balloon arrays. So that's honestly the most likely conclusion is that they're flying these balloons. And like I said earlier, it very, very well could have been shaved monkeys in like a cage, because
it could have been.
They want to study the effects of radiation.
Well, you're not going to put your men up, right? You're right. They wouldn't put the men up. High altitude, that's why they put Sputnik dog thing. Yeah, you don't risk your men first, you put your animals in.
I sincerely do think that they had like oxygen masks or something to keep the monkeys or apes alive in the high altitude.
As long as possible. And you got to get the study done.
And they wanted them to be exposed to the nuclear radiation so that they could study the effects. Or it was all made, the bodies were all made up.
Well, I don't know. I still believe in aliens. I just think they're too smart to show themselves to us. I'm pretty sure they just think that we are a really fucked up reality TV series. Dude, did you see that last episode of Earth? Can you believe them? I'm 100% positive. You'll never change my mind.
I'm so bored of that show. Season 20 is the same as season 3.
They keep doing the same shit over and over.
They keep doing the same dumb shit over and over.
Season 20, let's introduce a germ. They won't know what it is, and we could totally mess with them.
Right.
Wipe them out.
That's how the pandemic happened.
So, in conclusion... obviously, Roswell's had a huge cultural impact. I don't think we would have gotten shows like The X-Files without the cultural development that started in 1947. I have to also admit that to address some of the claims made at the beginning of the program about the technology coming from alien sources. The problem with that, it's easy if you don't understand technology, it's easy to say, oh, the semiconductor just magically appeared.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, you can go back in integrated circuit boards, all of it, you can go back. There is a progression. It does exist. There are patent records. Like, it didn't come from nowhere. We were pushing with electricity and vacuum tubes.
Study's done.
And pushing forward.
Right.
At the same time, they built a nuclear bomb. You're telling me they couldn't figure out a transistor?
Right.
Are you serious?
Truly.
Of course we did. I want to believe, but that technology, there's no need to explain it with aliens. Humans are amazing.
Okay. And on that note, just real quick, because I know you're going to shut it down, humans are freaking amazing. I studied a lot of anthropology, archaeology in my university years. And can I just say, I am tired of people saying aliens built the pyramids. It's the same sort of thing. Okay? The Nazca line, yeah, the pyramids were not built by aliens, and it's the same sort of, you can look back, you can see their mess ups, you can see their train of thought and how they got to where they did. Yeah.
The early ones are so simplistic and small.
Yes. There are no aliens. Yeah. I'm sorry, ancient alien lovers, but of the series, they did not do that. It was human ingenuity. And if the Library of Alexandria was still there, we'd probably have all the answers.
Okay, everybody, back in the time machine. We got to get back to a better time when people don't believe such foolishness like aliens are filled in the Nazca lines. okay, let's move on. Let's talk about some science news.
It's time for some news from our point of view. We'd even be glad if we could have a lap or two. It's time for some news.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about the trilobites first. I usually lead with the space or tech story, but let's talk about these trilobites.
Super intrigued.
New study published in the journal Science about trilobites that they are calling Pompeii trilobites because they're 508 million years old,
which is
really old. Right?
That's old.
Half a billion years old. These things were running around on Earth.
Were they running?
They were, Well,
they were scuttling.
Scuttling around the ocean? Yeah. Yeah, okay. They're much more like Zoidberg than they are in alien.
There it is.
why not Zoidberg? so they found them. Where did they find them? They were found in the High Atlas of Morocco, which is a chain of mountains there. Mm-hmm. And they got this nickname Pompeii trilobites because they were preserved in ash, just like the city of Pompeii.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Okay.
To me, at 508 million years old, they're actually not the oldest. The oldest are about 521 million years old.
Oh, so, just, you know, okay.
It seems so small when you're like 13 million years. Is that all?
Is that it?
But it's actually a huge amount of time, really? Right? 13 million years?
Damn.
So they're not that old. But they were so perfectly preserved in the ash that they've actually got appendages that aren't flattened or reoriented or broken. They were... And this happened because they were in the ocean when a volcano hit.
Oh,
okay.
And the temperature ended up being like perfect for flash preservation.
Wow.
It happened fast enough to preserve them like Pompeii, but it wasn't too hot where it changed, where they were like, and they shriveled a little bit. They didn't melt them. It was just like the perfect temperature, the Goldilocks performing. Mm-hmm. Just right. The three-dimensional preservation of their appendages, which isn't seen in a lot of trilobites.
That is really amazing.
And because they're preserved as void space in the rock matrix, because by now it's just like Pompeii, we don't have the person's body, but there was a void inside the ash where they can fill it with plaster, then boom, then you've got it. They've got these, like, for the first time, amazingly detailed, like, this is exactly what it was.
That's cool. That is so cool.
Yeah. Fun stuff. Definitely going, worth going and checking out additional information. And they've got some cool 3D representations of what that trilobite looked like. Go check that out. We'll have those links in the episode description. But now we're going to move on and we're going to talk about NASA making SpaceX a contract killer.
But wait, what?
For the International Space Station. They just put a hit out on it.
Someone should warn the space station then. Maybe they're listening to our pod.
Fortunately, it's going to take about 6 years before this can happen. So they've got time.
Got a little time.
So what's going to happen is NASA wants to destroy the ISS, mm-hmm. and they're going to pay SpaceX $843 million to fly out and push it back into orbit so it crashes.
Can we not pay Musk any more money?
It's too late. It's too late.
God damn it.
I will say this. SpaceX has made valuable developments to our concept of what a rocket into the atmosphere and space is going to be. Mm-hmm. But Musk is a piece of shit. And I'll stand
yeah,
by
it's
that.
His program. It's not Musk. He's just the dickhead with the money.
Yeah, exactly. He put the money up for it. The other engineers who we don't know about, they did the hard work.
Yeah, they're
but
doing the work.
Reusable rockets is huge.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I'm going to say this right now. NASA, why you got to push it back into the Earth? Why can't we just push it away?
Right? It does sound a little bit risky.
Okay, depending on how far away you can push it, it's going to come back, guys. It's gravity. It's going to come back. So you have to push it way far away. It's going to come back.
Wait. I know what they're up to.
Okay.
It is another distraction tactic from what's really going on in this country.
It's aliens. Sadly, you might be more right than we know.
What are they trying to distract us from?
If you never hear from us again, you know we got it right.
You know what happened, right? Strangely, the podcast and radio show was canceled. So they're not doing this just because Russia sucks, which, you know, would be a good enough reason. The ISS has five countries involved: U.S., Japan, Russia, Canada, and the EU. Mm-hmm. And they've done 3,300 more than that scientific experiments in close orbit above Earth, but it's really showing its age. It got launched in 1998. Okay,
wow.
So we're talking it was at 26 years.
Yeah, there's been some advancements.
Oh. Oh, I feel old now. I'm like, 1998. I remember that year. I had a job in 1998. But so there's lots of technical faults, and we know we've been hearing news of leaks, a lot of issues for the crew.
Isn't there a bunch of people stranded on the space station right now? Do I have my wires crossed? I feel like they've been stranded up there. They couldn't bring them back.
Stranded up there.
NASA shows that Boeing, Starliner, astronauts are not. No, it's Boeing. It's Boeing related. Dan, it's Boeing related.
Boeing. Yeah.
NASA, 20 hours ago. Starliner.
Oh, wow. Very
the
star.
So, yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, I know now. I saw something. Yeah, it's a definite delay in their return to Earth. The Boeing Starliner crew stuck at the International Space Station due to mechanical issues with their spacecraft are not stranded in space. Mm-hmm.
There's helium leaks and thruster issues, supposedly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Sudie
wow.
Williams and Butch Wilmore.
Well, thank you, ladies, for bringing some science news to me this week.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, huzzah.
Yeah, it's a joint effort. Joint effort.
Yeah. In order, not only are Boeing astronauts stranded, which NASA denies.
Of course they do.
Look, it's a weather balloon. We're waiting on a weather balloon.
Huzzah. That's awesome.
Huzzah. Not only is the thing starting to fall apart because it's so old and dated, the contracts between those countries, US, Japan, Russia, Canada, and EU, are ending in 2030.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to shit.
Yeah.
So something needs to be done.
On top of that, there's also a growing problem of space junk, orbital debris from satellites that aren't working anymore, and they're just whipping around the Earth at high speeds.
Falling down. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what hit the Boeing Starliner, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Space debris?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, it does sound like it would be a very dangerous thing space debris.
Yes.
Flying willy-nilly all over the place.
Is that what happened? Awesome. I didn't read that bit.
Yeah. Space debris. Yeah, I guess they had to take shelter in the dock capsule. Hundreds of pieces of debris from a shattered Russian satellite.
Go figure.
Yeah.
This is why I'm never going into space. Just saying.
You say that now, but it's our only option going forward.
No, I'm good. I'll keep my feet on the earth.
So
I'll watch all of you go.
Okay.
I'll wave goodbye.
This won't even be the first space station that they've pushed back to Earth, by the way. If you recall, Russia had a space station called Mir.
Yes.
That they pushed back to Earth.
That's been dated.
In 2001, 23 years ago.
I remember that now.
Yeah, the Mir space station.
God, that was a bit.
Strangely, Russia's been way more serious with space stations than us. they got the drop on us with Mir, and then we worked with them to get the International Space Station. I think China's planning a moon base before us. Like,
damn.
we got to the moon first, and then we were just like, "Eh, we're good.
Okay, we did it."
But we're also
such an American thing to do.
It's an American thing. We're also planning heavily on going to Mars. I don't know if you all have seen those Mars plans where they're building the Mars bases here and putting people in it so that we can put it on Mars and
practice.
Mm-hmm. Practicing here.
Wow.
Yeah, it's intense.
Yeah,
stuff.
No, I have no desire to go to Mars either.
All right. Let's talk about today's bullshit and snake oil. Let's dive in there.
Oh, snake oil on sale for me. Nothing but snake oil, and it ain't free.
All right. This actually came to my attention from a Reddit thread about Redbox. We all know Redbox, right?
Fucking Redbox. I do know of it. I am surprised it's still around.
Me too.
Well, it's not really anymore. We'll get there.
But for a second,
let's tell everybody what a Redbox is in case they don't know. It is a video rental service, DVD rental, right? Disc rental. You could rent Xbox games there too. And they were at every freaking gas station all around the country. Thousands and thousands of these things, right? They were part of what did Blockbuster in.
Right.
Netflix sent them in the mail. Redbox provided them at your local convenience store. Very successful company. And they were purchased by a company called Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment.
I thought those books had died out so long ago, honestly.
That happened in 2022, 2 years ago. Just this month, they have filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection.
Gee, I wonder why.
Right? And right? I was following on the Reddit thread. I read the news article, and then I like to go through the comments and voyeuristically read what people are talking about. That's my social media. I don't care for any of the others. I like that because I don't have to participate, and it doesn't give me a specific feed to manipulate me emotionally like Facebook does, or even Instagram, right? They're not trying to keep me.
Very true.
They're showing me a list of what's happening on Reddit, right? I can do popular, I can do news, I could say, oh, show me all the posts in Today I Learned. You know, it's a lot healthier of a social media place to be if you aren't getting in comment fights. Anyway. The comment thread on this one was about how Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment, but Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment is a subsidiary of Chicken Soup for the Soul LLC.
Yeah, it would probably be.
And it actually produces pet food under the same brand name.
Oh, interesting.
Weird. Anyway, on this Reddit thread, an employee of Redbox said that someone claiming to be an employee was talking about how they had their health insurance claim, their doctor's bill, come back from last month because the company just stopped paying insurance premiums without telling the employees.
Oh, no bueno.
Yeah. And another person said, and they went on, that the supposed employee went on to say that the CEO of Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment, Bill Ruhana, R-O-U-H-A-N-A, I don't know how to pronounce that. He has a long history of basically acquiring these companies and chopping them up and basically draining them. That's what the funnybusiness.substack.com story is all about. It's from a few years ago about how he uses a web of private companies to siphon the funds from the acquisition things, funds and assets.
Something that's working.
Yeah. So the people on the Reddit thread were talking about so the business model of Redbox was they license these films from the film studios who's printing the DVD, who made it, these video games. They pay all these licensing fees and then they have the right to rent them. They said that within the last year, he just stopped paying the licensing fees. So the selections on Redbox just started getting fewer and fewer. He had less and less available.
That'd be why it died, huh?
Right? That the company was fine until it got purchased. And what would they call that? I think there's a term for that. Like when they buy a company and chop it up. Like classic 80s American capitalism.
I don't know what it was, but there is a term for that.
Yeah, I can't remember it. I love that Futurama joke where they thaw out the 80s executive guy, and he's like, yeah, I got diagnosed with bonitis. One company is really close to a cure, but I bought them and I sold off all the subsidiaries. Made a cool 20 mil.
Yep. That's precious.
Made a cool 20 mil. Anyway, it is very much very, very sad because I immediately went and looked out and found that this is, you know, people are writing about this guy doing this. He started at a place called Windstar Communications in the early 90s. By 1999, both Fortune Magazine and LA Times were reporting that stakeholders of the company were calling out that Bill's self-dealing. That he was having Windstar purchase consulting services from his company, from different companies he owned. So if you can imagine, like if you're Redbox and this guy comes in, the idea, if he was doing this exact same thing, it would be, hey, I want to retool how we're marketing the algorithms to what movies we want to put first.
Right.
You know what? I think I'm going to hire XYZ consultants to do that work for us. And it turns out he owns XYZ consultants.
Gee, go figure.
I see. I just got a message from Amber. She didn't want to say it out loud. She wanted me to sound like the smarty pants. A corporate raider, and it's called asset stripping.
I didn't want to interrupt your flow of thought, but
Corporate raider
who's asset stripping.
In 1995, Bloomberg News speculated something was off about this guy. And an author named Om Malik wrote a book called Broad Bandits that covered telecom fraud in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And a quote from this book is, even this early in the company's life, there was speculation about Ruhana's real intentions. In a news report published on January 4th, 1995, Bloomberg News wrote, under the leadership of William J. Ruhana Jr., chairman and chief executive, Windstar's cash has been used to enrich him and his associates through a series of less than arm's length transactions. Bloomberg News suggested there was something improper and the way Windstar's internal divisions handled their finances.
Yikes.
So this guy has been doing it for 30 years now.
Damn.
And he's just claimed another victim. And to me, that's some real bullshit and snake oil. When you have, why does he get to do this? Because he can afford it. because he's a rich fucking fat bastard.
He is. And I question how he keeps getting away with it. How are people not catching on to that shit?
Here's the thing. He's not doing anything illegal.
He's
not breaking any laws.
Yep.
Damn.
Look at what Elon Musk, we talked bitch about him earlier. Yeah. Look what he did to Twitter. He didn't violate any laws. He destroyed a company.
Yeah. Damn.
He's allowed to. He bought it. He's in charge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
he could literally say tomorrow, Twitter is pivoting to being ice cream trucks for inner cities.
Right.
We will no longer have a web presence. You try and log in tomorrow, it's going to say, sorry, we didn't pay for the web domain anymore.
Yeah, they can. Yeah. They're a company.
And doesn't matter how many people work there, how many people have health insurance that they now can't go to the doctor. They didn't even tell them they stopped.
Damn.
That's the most disturbing part of this, is not that they're taking apart companies. That happens all the time. But that they're fucking over people who are sick. Like, it's not even just fucking over people. He's taking people that are ill and need medical care and fucking them over.
Yeah. And on top of that, what really makes me sick is we've been in situations where companies like AGI are too big to fail. So the government steps in to save them because of all of the reasons we just listed. People have jobs. People need their health care. It's going to be disruptive to the economy. But when someone's just rich enough to step in and buy it, they can do it. They can disrupt all those jobs all they want.
Yep.
And that's what this bastard's doing. And we all need to be talking about that more, because it's not. Let's move on. Let's play a little game. Let's wash ourselves out of all this negativity. Let's play some fact checking time.
Here we go. What do you know? It's fact checking time. Will you believe or be deceived? It's fact checking time. Cross my heart and hope to die. Stick a needle in my eye. Here's the quiz that all the kids call fact checking time.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Fact Checking Time, the news show quiz that tests your ability to tell the difference between a news story and something the media has actually deemed worthy. You know what? I forgot to do the outro to all that. Thanks for joining us on this journey today. We hope you had a good time. Maybe you learned a thing or two. I know I did. I learned how angry modern capitalism makes me. We encourage you to reach out to us at halfcocktails@gmail.com, or maybe you want to text us a message or give us a voice message at 443-499-8253. Or maybe you could drop us a comment on TikTok, Facebook, or Instagram. If you're in a giving mood, you can find us over on Patreon or visit the halfcocktails.com/shop. That's halfcocktails, CocktaelsCOCKEDTALES.com/shop. We have deeper dives over on that website. And as well as all sorts of fun stuff. Go check it out. Until next time, keep your mind set to science. All right, let's play some Fact Checking Time.
Do it.
Okay. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Fact Checking Time, the new show quiz that tests your ability to tell the difference between a news story and something the media has actually deemed worthy of a true fact check. We are here in the Half Cocktails Lounge with some amazing guests today. Joining me is Jamie Lynn, the Druidess, who's just so good at this. Jamie Lynn, you are in the hot seat. Are you ready for this?
Damn it. I want to say yes, but I feel like I need to do some warm-ups.
All right. And joining her for moral support is my lovely sister, Amber, who loves the woo-woo and thinks she's always right, too. How are you doing today, Amber?
I am relieved that I am not in the hot seat.
Oh, but you know I'm going to be throwing out the friend line, the emergency line,
I'll do my best.
Jamie Lynn, you're playing for Poncho Cat, the co-host of Half Cocktails News Shorts. And whether you win or lose is going to decide if we give him wet or dry food for dinner.
And no pressure, but last week I lost it for him.
Yeah, that would be why he's been so cranky these last few days. That explains a lot.
Yep, I'm sorry.
Damn it, Amber. Okay, pressure's on. Let's go, Dan. Let's go.
I'm going to present to you a series of events and stories that were in the news or on social media in some way, but or on the internet. But only one of them was fact-checked by a media outlet. Could be a news article, could be a social media post, could be an interview quote, but it could be a piece of trivia. But only some of them are fact-checked. You're going to have 1 minute to ask questions on each of the set of clues. Are you ready?
I suppose so.
Okay. And Amber, we're only doing two this week. So forgive me for making it so hard for you last week. But
just me gets the hard one then, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
I see how this goes. Your wife's in the hot seat, so you make it easy for her.
Somebody had to rush through his prep this week.
Yeah, it's not about me, Amber. It's about him.
All right. We got 1 minute on the clock. Either AI can decipher the names of different elephants when they talk. Uh-huh. Or in Thailand, they used to use elephants at airports to tow airplanes.
Oh, my goodness.
Your minute starts now.
What was the year that we're talking about airplanes in Thailand?
The year was 1968.
Okay. And AI is current now. And they're saying they know elephant names?
Yes. African elephants call to each other and respond to individual names. And you can use AI to identify.
Okay, I'm going with the AI one because it's new and present, and 61 airport, who cares about that? Sorry, Poncho, I'm going with the first one, AI.
I'm so sorry. I am so sorry.
Oh, no!
Doesn't want to know if AI knows elephant names? Come on, guys.
They didn't have to fact check it. It's a study out of Duke University ecology department. And yeah, African elephants call to each other and respond to individual names.
I know they
do. And they were able to use their models.
But they didn't fact check that?
No, that was not fact checked. They estimate that 28% of the time, they estimate that an elephant is using a name when it's calling out.
Yeah, they have such an expansive language.
That's crazy.
That's
pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. And
I love elephants.
A photo shared on Facebook more than 2,700 times claimed to be an image taken in the 60s at Ubon Ratchathani International Airport in Thailand. And it is an image of a man on an elephant towing an airplane.
That's awesome.
The image is real, but it was an ad campaign for the airline in 1968.
That is crazy to me. Okay. Yeah. I would have fact checked the AI knowing what elephants were calling each other, but hey, that's me.
So the photo is real, but they did not actually do that. That practice was made up.
Good, that would be horrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not the least we've done to elephants. Yes. Next one.
That's very true.
It's down to the wire. If I don't get this one right, Poncho's going hungry.
We got 1 minute on the clock.
Okay.
Either cicadas urinate at a rate of 10 feet per second. Cicadas make their noises by hitting their abdomens like a drum.
Ooh.
I'm going to go the P was fact checked because, okay, I know I was supposed to ask.
You've got no questions.
I should have questions. But what questions?
That's my
family.
I'm like, don't know what to ask.
Yeah, no, I know for a fact that cicadas pee like the proverbial racehorse, and it's a jet stream.
Okay.
But would somebody have fact checked that?
I did not know that. That is crazy.
I read about it, and it's absolutely freaking crazy. They make their noise by beating their abdomens. I'm going to say we're going to fact check pee. Sorry, Poncho. I'm more interested in their pee than their abdomen.
You are correct. You are correct.
Very good.
They fact checked. And yes, you are also, you knew that before the game. It's true. They can urinate 10 feet per second. And
I'm just saying I have this weird fascination with cicadas because there's two broods that came out this season. So yes. Uh-huh. I've been reading.
Yeah.
People have been trying to feed them to people. It's like this cuisine thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, cicadas are like this weird fascination with me this season.
So
there you go.
The article about their noises, they've got a membrane on their midsection that they vibrate, and underneath that membrane is a hollow area built like a small drum. That acts like an echo chamber, And cool. when they and it, it just is easy for them to do and really loud and annoying.
It is very loud.
That's fascinating.
It's okay, how you know
so they
summer's
might not
here.
Beat it like a drum, but they it's play true. It like a drum. Now, all right.
Okay.
You are
okay,
one and
I got
one.
One more. One and one. Oh. I can do this. I can do this.
This is for all the wet food.
Amber, I'm challenging you. Come on.
Poncho looks very trepidatious. Okay. Either. A Chinese man found and purchased military secrets at a used bookstore.
Or, wow.
A used bookstore in China.
In China. Okay. Okay.
There was a secret Chinese biolab found in California.
Okay. I don't know even what questions to ask on this. What's the name of the bookstore that he found the documents at?
It was just a neighborhood recycling book station in his neighborhood.
And how did he know what he, okay, so he found what in the bookstore?
Discarded books that turned out to be confidential military documents.
How did he know that's what that was? You probably don't have that answer.
The country's Ministry of State Security told the story in a social media post on Thursday, praising him because he called a hotline and reported it. And they came out and were
how
like, whoops.
How did he know what he had? Okay, you don't know that. I'm intrigued with the bookstore one. So the other one was, sorry, repeat the second one.
That's the time. You're out.
Damn
sorry.
It.
The second one okay. is a secret bio. Okay, I'll give you one question. A secret biolab, a Chinese secret biolab found in California. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Amber, I'm going to tap you in. Here's my thought. Bookstore, China, cool. I need to know more. But do people question what's in California? Because it's California? And do we have Chinese operatives there? I'm going with the bookstore. What are your thoughts?
Well, this if it was Florida, I would say we don't have to fact check them at all. but California could go either way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Let me think.
Would we have been more curious about the bookstore or California biolab?
I think we're going to be more curious about the biolab.
And I can't ask any more questions.
Man, I can't. I know. I was like, wait. Were the books United States military secrets or Chinese
you know,
military
okay.
secrets?
That
would have been a healthy question.
I really, 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 really want to go to the bookstore, but I'm thinking because it's California, should I go California? That's the fact check because it's us. Okay, I'm going to go bookstore because bookstores are cool. I'm going bookstores are cool.
I am sorry, that is incorrect.
Damn it.
Oh, no. Oh, poor Poncho.
The post reposted from the Ministry of State Security, reposted on at least two popular Chinese news websites, was the latest in a series by the powerful state security agency trying to draw in new audiences with dramatic stories. Some have even been told in comic book style. So we don't know if it's true because it's just a Chinese government agency saying that's what happened. It could be like they came up with the story to encourage people, like, if you see anything that could be something, say something. And the one that was fact checked was, a Chinese national was running a secret biolab in California. A local code enforcement officer in Reedley, California, noticed violations at a warehouse. And he thought it was supposed to be vacant, she thought it was supposed to be vacant, and she searched the facility, and she found it was being operated as an unlicensed biolab. They had freezers, vials of fluid, lab mice.
Hot damn.
They say that it was owned and run by a Chinese citizen with several different aliases. He was selling unauthorized, he got busted for selling unauthorized COVID kits.
Oh my goodness.
Millions of dollars are worth. Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
What a snake.
I shouldn't be surprised. And honestly, thinking on what you just said, that should have been the thing I said. But it's surprising,
you were there for a second.
He just knows he can reel you in with a bookstore. He just knows it.
I know that's what he did. It's totally what he did.
Shush. Go to the bookstore. Shush. Shush. All right. That's going to do it for fact checking time. Come back. Join us next week where either I'll play the tuba or get tubaed by another player.
Ooh. Ooh. What is that euphemism for, folks?
let's move on. Let's talk about some feel-good news. Let's wash our palates with something.
Let's do it.
A goal for a sip. Maybe even a hit. And join us for
There has been an incredible, incredible recovery of Pacific bluefin tuna. Ooh. I don't know if you've heard about this.
They were
very overfished, heavily overfished, significant decline in their population. We were just catching too many fish. It became a big issue that spurned some international cooperation because we don't want to lose the tuna. We eat too much of it. Several different countries and organizations collaborated and came up with plans to implement to reduce the fishing pressure and bring its population back. They implemented some strict regulations on how many tuna were allowed to be caught, setting quotas and enforcing sustainable fishing practices. And this took international cooperation because if you have one country that's like, nope, no limits here, we'll buy all you get, it messes the whole thing up, right?
Yeah.
And they took assessments to show that the population has grown so much, it hit its goal 10 years early.
Oh, wow. Does that mean we're going to fuck them over 10 years early now?
You know, we've talked about this before. One of the biggest problems endangered animals will have is being taken off the list of being endangered, right?
It's true. It's true.
That the victim of its own success.
Yeah, they're fine. We can hunt them again.
I don't know. According to the press release from, what I remember, it was on fisheries at NOAAfisheries.gov, Northern Oceanic Atlantic Agreement, I think. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration released this press release about the bluefin tuna.
That's awesome.
They claim that we're going to keep the efforts going to make them stay sustainable at the levels they're at. But we need ongoing international collaboration to do it. So far, we have it. And these tuna, I don't know if you are aware of it. Pacific bluefin tuna are like 10 feet long and weigh 1,000. One of them. They are so huge. And they weren't just like fishing them in a traditional, like we got a bite on this hook. What they were doing is these giant nets. They were net fishing. So you've got buoys on the top and weights on the bottom. So they'll spread them out like a football field, two football fields, three football fields, and then just kind of circle them around the school of tuna. And then boom, you've got a giant amount of tuna you can haul back to shore and can for bumblebee or whomever.
Yeah.
But the only way to really stop it, and we succeeded at, is you set those quotas and you enforce, you make sure nobody's selling these tuna on the black market, and you say, all right,
the trick.
Bubba Gump tuna, you have caught too many. You do not go back out with your nets. We will not buy any more tuna from you. You will be wasting your time and fuel and payroll. And it worked. And I honestly can't think of another time where a species hit its goal and target 10 years early.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Incredible.
These new stock assessments. Yeah. Yeah, it's just amazing. Just
that's
amazing.
Impressive.
Yep. Fantastic. Always good to end on some feel-good news. But sadly...
No, don't say it. We gotta bring the episode to an end. We're having fun. Don't we have more aliens to talk about? We can talk about more aliens.
Always. I got to give a shout out to Chef Girl RD. Pasta tastes better without the extra testosterone. It's just a thing. And of course, we don't have any time to get to that new 4th of July tradition that will leave everyone flabbergasted. I'm sorry, folks. That's on me.
Every freaking week, Dan.
Every damn time. Every damn time. I do need to give a shout out to Science, Congeniality, and the Social Contract, all making society better than anarchy for many of the last thousands of years. Ladies, any final thoughts or goodbyes before we go?
Keep your pets indoors and don't set up fireworks.
Oh, they're not going to hear it. Well, maybe they will hear it before the 4th of July.
No, I hope they do.
Yeah. Please
be kind to your pets. Don't set off fireworks when it's not the 4th of July.
Don't set them off when you're in a heat zone.
Oh, God, yeah.
Right. Have a wonderful day, folks. If you had a good time with us, Enjoy. You know what to do. Tell someone that needs to hear us. You can find us over at halfcocktails.com, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram. Of course, you can always show your support over at Patreon or halfcocktails.com/shop. We'll have all of those links for you in the episode description. But for now, thanks for stopping by. Now, go out and be well.
Now things are ending. It's time to go. No more to get through. Thanks for listening. That's our show. Ain't affectation. Oh, we're just leaving you half-cocked. Half-cocked. We had a good time talking today. But even best times, eventually they fade away. Ain't adjuration, oh, we're just leaving half-cocked.